Great to see you guys today. Thank you for joining us. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for being tuned in today, and also our online audience. We're glad you guys are here. I'm excited about today's message because here's the simplicity of what we're going to teach today. It's really pretty simple. You ever seen those little things on the side of like workplace environments that say, in case of emergency, break glass? You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you're not supposed to pull the lever on that unless there's an emergency, right? So just, you know, our congressmen need to know that. But everyone else, right, you shouldn't be pulling levers. Anyways, but yeah, it's true, right? And so, like, if there's an emergency, then break glass, pull the lever, right? So today's message is, in case nothing is working, break glass. Here's the four essential ingredients that God says, here's how you do it. Here's how you do marriage. Here's how you do relationships. Follow these, and over time, your marriage will be patched up. Your relationship will get better. Violate these and prepare for drama and trauma. Make sense? So here's what God did. God said, hey, here's what, he basically said, here is what marriage is, and then he gives instruction. And so I just figured we should probably go back and read the owner's manual of marriage. And this is where he talks about it in Genesis chapter 2. We're going all the way back to the beginning. He's like, hey, Genesis 1, he creates this whole world. Then he puts man and woman together, and he says, here's your plan. Do this, and it'll work out great. You don't do this, won't work out great. And so four simple principles I want to teach you today. This is not going to take long. I'll be in and out. And I want to share these with you. And at the very end, if you say, I get all that, still nothing working, then I got one line for you. Is that cool? You guys ready for this? I'm fired up. Let's break some glass. Here we go. Genesis 2, 24 through 25. Here is the key verse on marriage. Here it is, period. And those of you say, well, I'm not married. I'm in a relationship. No, but if you're like me, you want that relationship, right, to end in marriage, like to culminate in marriage, so you still are heading in this direction. Does that make sense? And if you're dating someone and you're not seeing these four things, it's a time to break up. Like, they're like, whoa, if these things are happening now, what makes you think they're going to happen in 5 years into marriage? Okay, so doing a big wedding will not solve your relationship problems. And certainly having a kid will not solve, it'll complicate it. It will not solve your relationship problems. And people do that. So I just want to warn you, again, break glass, okay? So let's look at this, okay? Here we go, let's dive right in. Genesis 2:24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So God clearly indicates marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman here. That's the most obvious thing, even though people act like that's not obvious. Oh my gosh, that's so offensive. No, it's just in Genesis chapter 2, it's been there all along. But then also, let's add on top of that, the simplicity of leaving each of your families and making your own family, right? I mean, this is not complicated, but we are not getting this simple message, right? And so there is a real simplicity here. And if you say, gosh, this message is so simple, it's supposed to be. In other words, God's like, I want to make sure I teach you at about an eighth grade level to where everyone gets it. Make sense? And so that's what God's intending to do. Do not confuse simple with simplistic. This is powerful truth. It's just simple truth. Does that make sense? So what does this mean? First of all, key number one is this. Prioritize your relationship. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother, right? That's simply telling us the priority is no longer your mama and your daddy. It's now your spouse, right? It's like the woman who was having problems in her marriage, so she called her mom and dad the first year. This is a true story. And she's like, I'm having all kinds of problems. I don't know what to do. We're fighting, and this is not getting along, and he's being rude to me, and I don't know what to do. And she cried. She goes, can I come home? Her mom and dad were both online. Her dad said, sweetie, you are home. Boom. Did you catch that? Sweetie, you are home. I hung up the phone. In other words, that's the best thing he could do is to say, you're not going to run back here. You already left this house. You're in your house now. And so if your house is burning, you need to put the fire extinguisher up and pull it out and stop the burning. It's on you. Make sense? So this is such an important and simple thing, but we have to prioritize our marriage, prioritize our relationship. I told you need four keys, break glass. Here's the four. The first one is real simple. If you're not prioritizing your relationship, it's going to catch up with you, period. It's not complicated. If you're at work 70, 80 hours a week, you're not prioritizing your relationship. You say, well, that's my job. Maybe you need to change jobs. you know, or figure out a way with those kind of hours to still prioritize your relationship. Doctors can do it all the time. So it's doable. You just have to add some discipline to it, right? And so I just want to encourage you that whatever it is that you do, if you don't prioritize your relationship, don't expect a good relationship. I mean, this isn't complicated. There's a lot of things built into prioritizing your relationship. A date night should be something that should be just set in motion. You just pick a night. That's officially your date night. Don't violate it. You say, well, we got little kids. Hire a babysitter. When I say hire a babysitter, I don't mean that night. I mean hire a babysitter that's a standing babysitter that shows up every single week, and you promise them you're going to pay them whether you go out or not. That will make you go out. Otherwise, well, guess what's going to happen every Tuesday night or Thursday night when you decide to do it? I'm too tired. Okay, well, then pay the babysitter and sit at home with your kids. What's going to happen? You're going to be like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, if I'm going to pay the babysitter, I'm going to go. Exactly. So you line it up in advance. In the worst case scenario, you're going to go to Target at least for a couple hours, right? And let's be honest, that can be a date night. I love Target, right? Or Walmart, right? I mean, that's where the, you know, big time preachers shop. Anyways, but I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid to do something simple, but you need that time, just the two of you. Does that make sense? You're prioritizing one another. And let me just say this too. When you are married, let me just explain this really simple. There is only one king and queen in our home. It is not my mama or my daddy. It's not my mother-in-law or my father-in-law. It's not our kids are not in charge either. Our friends and even previous friends, no one's grandfathered into this friend thing. Well, I was friends with them before I met you. So you committed to forsaking all others. They're no longer the priority. Does that make sense? If your spouse is uncomfortable with them, then you're done with them. Or don't plan on staying married. It's real simple. Again, break glass. You can violate this if you want. How's that working for you? And so I want to really challenge you in this. And so, listen, I love my mom. Her opinion is one-tenth of my wife's at best at this point. And I love her. And she would actually shake her head, as she will in the later service, and say, yes, that's correct. That's why my mom and dad have been married over 50 years. See how that works? If you prioritize each other, then you get to stick around with each other. And so prioritize one another with your time, with your money, with your influence, in your relationships, in every area. You have to prioritize one another. It's so critical. Number two, it says, and you shall cleave unto a wife. Now, I changed translations here because one translation says that you leave your mother and your father and you're joined to his wife. But I think it sounds cooler when you say leave and cleave. I just think you kind of get that. You're like, okay, I get it, right? Leave and then cleave. Cleave means what? It means join yourself. It means attach yourself. It means you're attached at the hip to this person. That's what that means. Does that make sense? And so I really think we've had surgeons, you know, it's incredible. Ben Carson was the first to do it. Surgeons that have detached twins, right? They're like, they literally detached. It's amazing that they pulled it off, right? We should actually now have surgeons attach us. Wouldn't that be great if we did that? Let's actually attach, you know, because then we'd finally get this. Oh, you're serious about this whole cleave thing. Exactly. Yes. And so what does this mean? Number two, pursue your spouse. Again, I talked about that date night earlier. But pursuing your spouse means, and this is really important, knowing what they want and doing what they want. That's so important. If you pursue your spouse with what you want, you're really pursuing your own ends. But if you pursue your spouse with what they want, then you're pursuing their ends. Does that make sense? I can use all kinds of sweet, positive words and get my wife all kinds of gifts. She doesn't care. She's acts of service. She wants me to do things around the house. And so, and my thick skull still struggles with this. I realize, I'm like, I've got to realize that she wants me to put a handyman belt around my waist and go fix everything, right? And if I fix anything else, I'm not even thinking about her. I'm just like, let me fix it. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. It's hilarious. I'm like, oh yeah, you're welcome. I was doing this for you. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I forget how, because I don't think that way. Turn to your spouse right now and say, I don't think like you. Let them know right now. We don't think like each other. So you have to ask each other, like, what is pursuit? This is what, men, start. It starts with us. Men, ask your wife, what does pursuit look like to you? And then whatever she says, that's your pursuit, right? And then she says, what does pursuit look like to you? And then he says, get naked. Okay, so anyway, so we're clear on, on what we're looking for. So anyways, prioritize your relationship. Number two, pursue your spouse. I love this verse in Genesis 29. There's a great little story tucked in here where basically Jacob is pursuing Rachel. The dad dupes him, gets him drunk on his wedding night. This is why you don't drink on your wedding night, by the way. And slips in the older sister into the bedroom. So he consummates the marriage with the wrong girl. I mean, this is Jerry Springer straight. Don't ever think like Mari Povich, oh, that's just not real. Oh, yeah, even the Bible, that stuff was real. Let me tell you. There's some crazy stories, right? And so if you think your family's dysfunctional, read the Bible. I mean, you'll be like, wow, I feel really great. Because I didn't have, you know, my father-in-law slip in the sister. I didn't have that happen to me. You know, thank goodness. That'd be really weird, right? And so that's what happened. So he's like, hey, in our culture, you know, the older sisters will get married first. And so, and he's like, are you kidding me? He'd worked 7 years to marry Rachel. And then he says, okay, I'll make you a deal. This dad, I mean, terrible father-in-law, right? He says, all right, I'll make you a deal. Let's finish the wedding. Don't embarrass my older daughter. And then you can marry my younger daughter when all that's done. But I want you to work for me for 7 more years. And guess what he says? Okay. Do you understand the beauty? Okay, in the middle of crazy dysfunction, as clearly I just explained, do you see the beauty in this? He worked 7 years after he got the girl. So we're supposed to be pursuing our spouse after we caught him. Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great thought? Like, so what'd you do before you caught them? You got dressed up. You were super sweet. You did all kinds of nice things for them. God says, yeah, do all that stuff after you already got them. But what do we do? Oh, I already got them. I don't need to worry about staying in good shape. I don't need to worry about, you know, dressing nice. The guy's like, I don't need to worry about taking her out. I'm just going to. We get too casual, don't we? And it's like, oh, wait, actually, I do want to continue to do the things I did to pursue you before we were married. I want to keep doing that. And if you do this right, you get to have this passionate love relationship as if you're newly married and you're 20 years in. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that really what we all want? I mean, that sounds awesome. That comes with pursuit. So I want to challenge you, prioritize your relationship, number two, pursue your spouse. Genesis 2:24 goes on to say this, and the two are united into one. Now, the most obvious implications of this verse is a sexual union. That's an obvious one. So I'm actually going to set that aside because next week we're talking on sex. In fact, next week I'm interviewing a Christian sex therapist on stage. That is going to be a great message, and you're also going to have your eyes pop out several times with what they say. And this also means your kids don't need to be in the room. So I just want to tell you right now up front, next week, because we go there. And so if we're going to do that, you're not going to want, I'm just telling, don't get mad at me next week when you're like, I can't believe my kids now asking me, I told you not to have men here. So don't get mad at me, okay? So I warned you, okay? So let your kids go to children's church. And by the way, they're going to like children's church way more anyways because we got great kids programs. Can we give it up for Kids Unlimited around here? It's awesome. It really is. So get your kids involved in that next week. The message is on sex. You're going to love it. Here's how it's going to go. It's going to be okay. It's going to get really, really, really good, and you're going to get really sleepy. That's how the message is going to go. Just kidding. Okay, so. Some of you are still getting it. You're like, wait, what was he referring to? Okay, so. This verse has great implications. I'm sorry, man, but you got to laugh with everyone else, okay? You got to time it up. Okay, all right, so. Okay, so I'll stop thinking I'm a comedian today. I apologize. So, okay. So key number three, this is really important because there's several implications here, but the one obvious one is that there's a union that they come together completely. But there's another thing in this verse that's not so obvious, but it's very important. All scholars, when I read on this, biblical scholars point this out. So it's a big deal. So they're seeing something in the original language here that maybe we're not seeing, that oneness is not just physical. It's every area of your life. And so I'm going to say something that may offend you, but this is a really big deal. And I want to talk specifically to people who have been divorced because this is the one area that will get you into a second divorce if you don't make a shift. Because after a divorce, and I want to be real careful, I have not been divorced, so I don't want to, I want you to hear me. I asked several people this week who have gone through divorces, several godly people. One is a lady on our staff, really sharp lady, got her advice. She sent some great information. But I've talked to other godly single people who are still single after divorce and several who've remarried over the years. And this is something consistently I hear, okay? So I'll be real clear. This is not my information. Don't get mad at me. Oh, you never divorced. You have no idea. You're right, I don't. But people who do have an idea are sharing this with me. So I want you to hear me loud and clear. When you go through divorce, there is massive distrust that happens because your trust has been broken. And so it's really hard to trust again. But what a lot of singles are doing is they're making the mistake of going straight into another relationship with no time in between their previous spouse and the new one. Some of them have not even let the ink dry on divorce papers or even signed divorce papers, and they're already talking online or on the phone or dating. It's like, what do you do? First of all, that's called adultery. And that may sound really harsh to you, but you know, I can't, you just don't want me to be happy. No, I do want you to be happy. That's what I'm trying to, don't violate this. Don't break the glass in this area. Make sense? Don't violate is what I'm trying to say. So I want to challenge you on this. The number one thing that Christian singles who've gone through divorce tell me is they said this, you've got to take time to heal. And one of the number one ways you haven't taken time to heal is that in your next relationship, you're unwilling to do this third key. And so here's what I'm trying to say by the third key. Function in full partnership. The two have become one. Now, let me give you a quote from Jimmy Evans, who created XO Marriage Conference. He's brilliant. This is a quote from one of his books called The Four Laws of Love. And he says this, anything that is not mutually owned and controlled by both partners will lead to division and problems. What that means is you don't have separate checking accounts. You no longer have two IRAs. You no longer you may have two IRAs, but her IRA is your IRA. His IRA is your IRA. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And I'm going to say something really crazy. You no longer have two different sets of kids. I'm out. I can't. You're asking for trouble. Because I need to let you know something. Your kids need an influence of a man. And the man in the house is no longer there, but God's given you another man in the house. Let him be an influence. Let me say the opposite. God's given you another woman in the house. Let her be an influence. Now, I understand this can be tricky. I'm not pretending it's not, because I know that means you've got two sets of parents. And they do. And this is why God says, I don't like divorce. Not because he's mad at you, but because he knows what this does to you and your kids. Okay? But it's not making it better pushing off the wisdom of your spouse because those aren't your kids. Does that make sense? You did marry this person, so I think you probably think they're pretty wise, right? So why would you now limit the wisdom? And it can be tricky when you have an ex-spouse wanting to do one thing and your current spouse wanting to do another, but who's your priority now? Oh, the new spouse. Does that make sense? So I want to challenge you with this notion. I know I'm probably getting some emails today, and I'm not trying to push you in a negative way. I'm trying to protect you, okay? And if there's areas that you and the ex-spouse cannot come into an agreement with, then maybe, and this is going to sound crazy to you, maybe your new husband should sit down with your old husband, or your new wife should sit down with your old wife and just say, let's talk civilly and figure out how we can parent together. Can we come to some agreements? Is this helping someone today? Now, and I know some of you are like, you don't understand the unreasonableness of my ex. You're right, I don't. So I'm telling you what you're shooting for. I didn't say you're going to perfectly get there. You hear that? But I still think it's worth shooting for. So I want to encourage you. And I have seen couples go through divorce that have done this well. It can be done. Was it complicated? Were there sticking points? Were there messes at times? Absolutely. But aren't there sticking points and messes when you just have the original mom and dad too? So, I mean, that's just kids complicating stuff because kids are great at that. Turn to your kids right now and say, you complicate my life. Just let them know. It's true, right? But I want to encourage you that if you will join everything together, and what I'm really saying is mentally say, all of this is no longer, these are your bills, these are my bills. No, they're all our bills. Make sense? And so, that's your problem. No, that's your problem is my problem. So I'm going to jump in and help you with your problem, and I hope you jump in and help with my problems. And so, if you brought debt into the relationship, well, that's her debt. No, now it's your debt. You married this person. Does that make sense? So the two become one, and I want to encourage you this week to begin moving in that direction. And some of you say, Pastor, this is really hard. I think I need to talk to a counselor about that. And then go talk to a counselor. Because a good Christian counselor is going to say, they know the word. They're going to be like, this is what the Bible says. And if you violate this, you're creating more distrust. And so I want to encourage you, it's not fair to take the distrust from your ex and put it on your new spouse. They didn't do those things. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, function in full partnership. Boy, it got quiet in here. Let me keep going. Genesis 2:25. Now the man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. Hallelujah. Love that verse. Now, again, the implication's obvious. You know, oh, well, this means they were sexually involved. Yeah, it does. And by the way, did you notice that sin hasn't entered the world yet? And so God's like, yeah, people say, well, you know, sex is just for procreation. No, it's not. Because they were naked, felt no shame. You can just assume some things in this verse pretty obviously. And so, and there was no sin. So in a sinless environment, God's like, pro sex. He's like, yeah, I meant for this to be something that you enjoy together. It's a wonderful thing. But again, I want to set that implication aside for next week, because next week we're talking about sex. And I want to show you something else that theologians all point out about this verse. It's really pretty simple. Key number four. And then I'm going to wrap it up. I told you it's pretty fast, right? Are you guys tracking with me? Is this helping someone today, I hope? I told you it was simple. I didn't say it was easy, right? Simple and easy are not the same thing. It is simple. It's just not always easy, okay? And number four, create complete honesty and transparency. To be naked means, here I am, every part of me. Right? I mean, you're naked. There's nothing to hide there, right? You're like, yep, there I am, ha, you know. And so, right, that's what nudity kind of implies, is that you're seeing everything, right? And so create complete and total transparency, which means that we also need to be naked emotionally. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is hard to do. And I need to also warn you, this is going to hurt. Because when there is a truth session that comes out, whether the truth came out because you hunted something down, and then they completed the truth, like, hey, what's going on here? And you're like, well, here's the deal, right? Which men are famous for, by the way. We're very famous for that. Men also, by the way, they confess in stages. Ladies get real offended by that. They're like, you didn't tell me everything, because he's embarrassed. He's ashamed. He knows what he did was wrong. So they confess in stages. It's not right. I agree with you, but it's what men do. I'm just letting you know. And so, let me just say this too. When you begin to really share your heart with one another, your heart is deceptive. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will be wrong. So just sharing my truth doesn't mean it's right. So I think in our culture, we got to realize that. There's no my truth and your truth. There's just the truth. And so in the Bible is truth. And the Bible says, share it all, even if it's wrong, because you can't really have a oneness with each other unless you know where your partner's broken. And guys, we're all broken, okay? And I'm going to give you one last point based upon this brokenness, because God gives us some insights, and he goes all the way from the beginning of the Bible all the way to almost the very end of the Bible, and then someone else mentions this verse and then says something about it that's really important. I love how God does that. God's like, let me give you a little time to really realize that this, that you're like, oh, I'm trying to follow this. It's not working. And then Paul says something about Genesis 2 and goes, here's what happens if nothing's working. In other words, if you got to break the glass, break it. And so here's what you got to do, right? And so let's go back to this now. So marriage, you got to create a complete honesty and transparency. It will hurt. It is difficult. And anyone who says point key one, key two, key three, and key four are easy has never been married. Guys, the biggest, the most obvious thing I want to point out before I go any further is that marriage is work. And that may not sound attractive, but if you're not ready to work, don't get married. Because it is hard work to become one and to stay one. And so I just need to let you in on something. Anyone who's been successfully married for a long time has things they're not telling you, because they're working through things and they're being loyal to their spouse. And any marriage that's at any kind of length of time puts the kids to beds and goes in their master bedroom, closes the door, and has to talk about things. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I just need to warn you, if you're thinking like, oh, just if I just had a marriage like so-and-so, you don't know about their marriage. You know what they tell you. You know what you think you know. You see, this is one of the biggest problems we have, is that no one's putting on Instagram, had a big fight tonight, it was great, just wanted to get a quick picture of it. No one's doing that. So then everyone's marriage appears great. Does that make sense? I mean, how many experts do you need to see that write books on marriage and then 3 years later are divorced? Oh, wow. So we're all human. So it's so important to know that. So I hope that gives you some hope today. I hope you're not like, well, that's discouraging. No, instead it needs to be like, oh, I'm normal. Yes, we're all normal because we're all just people. And so we all have to work through things. So what do you do? Look what the Apostle Paul says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. As the scriptures say, and he quotes this, a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. What's he quoting? He's quoting Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right? Then he says, and here's the big line, and I love this. This is really going to give someone some help today. Here it is. This is a great mystery. Now, if you're like me, you're like, yeah, I already knew that. What he was saying was, women, I don't understand them. Because he was Paul that wrote this, right? And so a woman who wrote this and said, men, I don't understand them. Right? In other words, like, we don't really get each other fully. And we're never going to fully get each other because I can't put enough testosterone in Jessica's body to understand me. And I don't have enough estrogen in my body to understand her. Does that make sense? And those are just two chemicals. We're not even talking about everything else. All the other female to male differences, right? And so you just have to understand, we are just different people. We just think differently. My wife is like, you're a caveman. I am a caveman. You're correct. You know, it's really true. I just think about two or three things all the time, and that's about it, you know. I'm not complicated. I'm very simple. She's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I'm just thinking about the Texans and whether they're going to win or not. That's what I'm thinking about. You know, I'm not that complicated. You know what I mean? And then you ask your wife, what do you think about? And she's like, well, I think about this and that. You're like, and you're like, well, here's a solution. She's like, I didn't ask you for a solution. And you're like, my mind doesn't think like that. She's like, just wallow in it with me. I'm like, what? No, here's how you solve it. And she's like, I'm not looking for a solution. So you just want me to go, yes. Okay. You ever felt lost in the conversation with your own spouse? You're like, I don't understand this person. You're complicated. So let me give you the Greek words that are used here. I love the Greek words. The Greek words are mega mysterion. I love this line, and I think we should say it like the announcer on Univision. Mega mysterion. Doesn't that sound better now? Turn to your spouse and say, mega mysterion. I don't speak Spanish, but I just want to talk like that guy. I just think that the way he talks is so radio DJ. You know, I want that DJ voice, right? So turn to your spouse and say, you are mega mysterion. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be like, I just don't think like you. If you are waiting to get along with your spouse when you totally understand them, never going to happen. They're a mystery. And right when you figure them out, 2 days later, they change their mind. It's true, isn't it? You're like, I don't understand you. You said this last week. Well, I meant it last week. No, I mean this. You're like, whoa, what? Because unlike God, who's unchanging, we change. And actually, God, who says he's unchanging, multiple times in the Bible, Moses talked him out of killing all the people. David did the same thing. Several people are like, I'm going to just destroy him. And then, no, please don't do that. If I find one righteous person, oh, and God says, okay. God, who's unchanging, changes mind. So God is a mystery. In fact, the same mega mysterion word here is only used with God and in one other place, marriage. Why is that? Because the Apostle Paul goes on to say in the scripture, I don't have time to unpack the whole thing because the whole chapter, that marriage is a picture of what? Us and God. Ah, is God mysterious? Of course. Am I ever going to fully understand God? Not a chance. The more I learn about God, the more of a mystery he is. And you're going to find your spouse very similar. That the more you learn them, the more there is to learn. Because we change. We grow older. We have new dreams and desires and things we really wanted years ago we don't want anymore. And things we didn't want years ago, now we want. And so we change. And so we are a mega mysterion to one another. So to all those who are frustrated, marriage is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. But instead of being frustrated by the mystery, could it be that we should be enamored by it and say, isn't this the fun part? That I don't know who the heck you are today, but I'm going to ask you who you are today and what you're thinking and how you changed and what you want. And let's start going for those new things you want. And I want to pursue who you are today and not who you were 20 years ago. And I want to pursue who you want to be. Does that make sense? And that's the fun part.
So you say, okay, Pastor, I'm trying to get my mind around this. It's so confusing. Where do I start? Here's where you start. Start here. Give yourself in sacrifice for your spouse as Christ gave himself for us. Now, I want to be real clear here. Men, this is your job. You say, I'm the leader of the home. Well, leadership means that you got your marriage into this mess. You need to lead you out. Does that make sense? So what I recommend is the pie chart I put up last week. What percentage are you in charge of? Draw that and do a giant pie chart that covers the whole thing and say, I'm in charge of it, the whole thing. If my marriage is not good, I've learned this. It's me. I got to make the changes. And so, and I want to tell you right now, I make mistakes all the time. All the time. But I've learned that the only way I can change my mistakes is that I have to own them, and then I have to change them. Does that make sense? So men, I want to challenge you to lead the way in this. So my spouse is not going to respond to me. Yes, they will. Over time, they will. There is a less than 1% spouse in here that would not respond to a man serving her. There's a less, it's less than 1%. There is a 99% accuracy rate here. I've seen it, guys. If you will simply say, how can I serve you today? What can I do for you? That will change the heart of your spouse. It will change the trajectory of your marriage. And how do you serve her? You prioritize her. You pursue her. You function in full partnership. Everything you have is hers. You create complete honesty and transparency. You tell her your mistakes, your foolishness, warts and all. Here's who I am. This is the ugly truth of my nakedness. But I want you to know, this naked fat guy loves you. And I'm willing to do anything I can to serve you. And if you will do that, it's a mystery. And there's still going to be things when you just go, I don't get it. Then don't get it and love them anyways. This is something I'm having to learn. I don't have to get it to do it. Did you catch that? I don't have to get it to do it. And I've learned this too. If I'll just go do what God says, God's like, this is a mystery, but I'm trying to simplify the mystery for you. If you'll just honor her like Christ honored his bride, the church, if you'll just do that, it all works out in the end. But honoring her is really a mess. Oh, you mean like a bloody cross? You mean like that kind of mess? I don't think it's that bad. Maybe hard, maybe a little bloody. Probably not going to require you to hang on the cross. He already did that. Now we get to sacrifice ourselves for our spouse in love every day. Every man in here, if I said, would you give your life for your wife? He'd say yes. And I would say, well, let's hope that we don't have to do that today, but why don't we give our life daily? Did you catch the difference? Well, if I'm willing to take a bullet for her, then I certainly can mow the lawn for her. If I'm willing to take a bullet for her, I'm certainly willing to help around the house and help with the kids and be vulnerable. So start with that. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is this message touching someone? I hope someone's getting this today. There's a simplicity to it. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe prayer today to say, Pastor, I've got to be honest with you. I've been violating some of these things. We all have. We all have. There is no exception. The Apostle Paul used to say it this way. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the best sinner among us. He's saying, I can sin with the best of them. Listen, when it comes to marriage, I get it. I feel like I'm the chief of sinners too. All of us. It's a mystery. I'm still trying to figure this out. I want to encourage you. The reason I'm still trying to figure this out, same reason you're trying to figure this out. Why? Because I'm still trying to figure them out. We have a hard time figuring ourselves out. We have to go to counseling to figure our own life out, let alone someone else's. So it's okay. It's okay. Love them anyways. Cherish them. Honor them. Appreciate them. Validate them. And watch God do great things in your marriage. Make that commitment today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. What did Christ do? Christ said this. It says in Scripture, in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life so that we could have connection back with God. Jesus died, And he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray this simple prayer and receive Christ in your life right now. Pray this prayer with me across all of our campuses. Those online, just say this with me. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you hold your hand high across all of our campuses? Just hold your hand high right now if you just prayed that prayer. You're not alone. Thank you. I see hands up. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Right here in the front. Thank you. All the way in the back. Thank you. We see your hands all the way in the sides over here. Thank you. Praise God. Hold your hand high. Thank you, Rodfield. Hold on hand high. Praise God. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Thank you, Portland. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold a hand high. Thank you, Padre Island. Those are online with us. You can let us know as well. You can put it in the text chat. Just text "my hands raised" or click "hand raised" right now. We praise God for the decision you made to give your life to Christ. Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth today. Thank you for the way you change us. And thank you, God, that when we need to break glass, when everything's going wrong, we now have a simple formula to follow. Teach us, Lord, how to do it and to dive into the mystery of marriage and just love this person that we don't understand. Thank you, God, that you've shown us how. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true.